The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Chris, can you feel us touching your leg? I couldn't feel a thing. They kept asking these questions over and over again, but I'm thinking, you know what? You're 18 years old, bad things happen to other people. There's no way that it's gonna happen to me. And then they call in for the helicopter. And that's when I knew that this is serious.
After being told he would never walk again, Chris and Emily Norton prepare to walk the 7 longest yards. Next on Life Today.
Walsh here with Randy Robinson, and we are very excited and honestly very honored to introduce the couple of guests that we have on this program. Brand new book out called The 7 Longest Yards. And rather than me tell their story, I'm going to let them do that. So please, would you help me welcome Chris and Emily Norton. Welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
So great to have you guys. And some people, I think, Sheila, might actually recognize them.
Well, yeah, you've been on Good Morning America a couple of times. I saw you there, and I also saw you on one of my favorite programs called Say Yes to the Dress.
Yes.
Where you got your wedding dress, which is lovely. But let's start with the obvious, Chris, that you are sitting here in a wheelchair. And I have to honestly tell you, I always read books of my guests. Reading the first chapter, I sat and sobbed because I'm a mom of a son who played football too. So would you tell us, what happened to you?
Yeah, on October 16, 2010, 18-year-old kid at Luther College, Decorah, Iowa, 6th game of the season, everything's going according to plan. As an 18-year-old, I was gonna earn a business degree, meet the girl of my dreams, become an all-American athlete, and someday, you know, own a lake house. Or better yet, the girl of my dreams family already owns a lake house.
Always better, yes.
But I was just running down the field during the kickoff, and I see this opening forming. And I know that ball carrier is gonna run through that hole, and I'm gonna stop him. And I'm just gonna drive my shoulder through his legs. Well, I see that opening, and I dive to make the tackle, but I mistimed my jump just by a split second. So instead of getting my head in front of the ball carrier, my head collides right with his legs. In an instant, I lose all feeling and movement from my neck down. I was completely conscious, and I'm just telling myself, Chris, get up. But nothing's working. No matter how hard I try to push off that ground, nothing is working. Like, someone just turned the power off to my body. And I just kept waiting, thinking that my strength will come back. And, you know, later, I didn't realize that I suffered a severe spinal cord injury. Mm-hmm.
You thought it was a stinger, which can happen in football, that the feeling would immediately come back. What happened? How long did you lay there on the field? Because we've all had those moments as parents where everybody in the arena is silent until they make sure that the kid's okay. What happened to you that day?
Yeah, so I'm just laying there. Yeah, the crowd goes silent. And it's kind of that eerie feeling because the crowd was loud, it was buzzing. We're making this comeback, and then all of a sudden it's just dead silent. The athletic trainers run out, they check on me. They start asking me questions like, Chris, can you make a fist with your hand? I try making a fist, nothing works. Chris, can you feel us touching your leg? I couldn't feel a thing, and they kept asking these questions over and over again, but I'm thinking, you know what? You're 18 years old, bad things happen to other people. It happens to people that you read about, that you watch on television. There's no way that it's gonna happen to me. And then they call in for the helicopter. Mm. And that's when I knew that this is serious. Mm. And so at that point, I just closed my eyes. I just began to pray. Just God, whatever you do, do not change my plan. Just let this be a big scare. Just put this all behind me. I just wanna be a normal 18-year-old kid. I wanna play football, I want to run around, but whatever you do, just don't change this.
Yeah, I'm watching him tell just a small part of his story, just the sort of the beginning in many ways. You're talking with your hand. You're making some motions, but I remember reading in the book how the doctor came in and gave you a 3% chance, and you said, what, to ever walk again? And he said, what, to ever move again, something like that?
Yeah, there's a misconception that it's a 3% chance to walk. That's kind of what easy to go to that assumption, but the reality is to move or feel anything.
Anything.
It's a 3% chance to scratch an itch on your face, to feed yourself.
How did you become part of that 3%, which you clearly are?
You know, I was resilient. I just said, no way, not me. I'm not going to accept this. I'm going to do whatever I can to beat this. And I went to work day one, just nodding my head yes and no. And I nodded my head for hours. I looked like a giant bobblehead, just bouncing my head around.
Really? Wow.
And I also just like held out to this hope that, you know, God can take this pain into his purpose. I just had this hope. But, you know, so many times though, I called out, I was like, God, how is this part of your plan? Like, what are you doing? Are you sure you know what you're doing, right? I just had no idea, like, what could come from this. I was so scared. I, you know, so many times I just prayed, just like, God, can you give me a glimmer of what's ahead? Mm-hmm. Can I just know, like, how you could use this just so I can make this time of suffering a little bit easier? Mm. And, you know, obviously, you don't get that glimpse ahead. You just have to keep going and just stay hopeful.
One of the interesting things, Emily, bringing you in, is that you guys actually met through a dating app. It must give a lot of people out there hope that those dating apps actually do work. Yeah. Tell me, what stage of your life were you at when you met, when you and Chris met?
Yeah, so we were in college when we met, and we definitely weren't really searching for a serious relationship where we thought it was going to be much of anything, but God had this amazing plan to bring us together, and we had this instant connection where it just felt like it was meant to be, and there's definitely fears and questions about what it would look like, but just trusting God and keeping that faith and just knowing that he had everything I wanted in a man, just his perseverance and his attitude and the way that he looked at life and stayed positive through such a difficult moment with his injury. And so I just knew that with him, everything would be okay in life if I had him.
So you didn't, the fact that Chris was in a wheelchair, that was not at all something that gave you pause?
It didn't. I was really curious about it, honestly. I like to get to know people and get to know who they are. And I was very, very curious with how positive he was. Like, is this, how does he do this? How is this possible? I didn't understand how you could do that in that situation. So I was very curious and asked a lot of questions about his situation to get to know him. And that was really what helped with our connection, is just really getting to know him with those things.
Well, I was worried because before we officially met, we were texting and she's like, hey, how about I just come by your house and I'll just pick you up and you can just put the chair in the back seat. And I'm thinking, oh no. Like, she drives a little yellow, like, two-door car and she has no idea what she's getting herself into. Like, she has no idea what it takes to, like, get me transferred over, get my chair apart, and if my chair would even fit in the size of that vehicle. So I'm thinking this is gonna fail.
No, yeah, I was very naive to it all, but we just made it work.
Yeah.
Let me ask Chris, when you hear her talking, because there was a point where you felt like all your dreams in life were shattered, but yet I just heard her say that she met the man that was, you know, was everything she hoped for, the man who had everything she wanted to meet. How does that make you feel now?
Well, you know, it makes me, I guess, proud, I guess, and just blessed to have someone like Emily in my life. And something I discovered as I was going through my journey, you know, my identity was wrapped up in my, like, physical ability, in my ability to run and walk and how much weights I could lift and, like, my success on the football field and athletics. And I'm like, how can I be a man without that physical quality, with that strength that you think of? And I learned that people really value who you are as a person, the value add, how you make them feel versus how quickly you can move or how much you can lift. And I began to see that in other people, that those other things didn't really matter to them as much as it mattered to me. And so I really wanted to make sure that I could add value to other people in other ways and bring joy to them. And you can do that without physical ability.
One of the things I think is amazing is you made a determination that when you graduated from college, you wanted to be able to walk across and pick up your diploma. What was the process of getting ready for that like? Because that must have seemed to so many people an impossible dream.
Yeah, you know, it felt impossible at times, not gonna lie, but it was just a dream that we just both of us clung on to, and that we're gonna figure out a way each and every day just to get a little bit better and put as much time and effort into it to make it into a reality. So, you know, we would put in together 4 to 6 hours of training just to try to make this dream in realization. So it was just a lot of time, a lot of effort, and thankfully I had a great personal trainer.
One of the things that make you such a perfect couple is that from when you were a little girl, you have always had a heart for what's inside of people. Mm. Talk about your love for children who don't have perhaps the happy childhood you did.
Yeah, so I grew up in a great family, always had support and love. Didn't know that there are kids out there who didn't have that. But when I was growing up, I started mentoring and I met Whitley, who ended up going into foster care. She got taken away from her mom. And I just could not believe that there were kids that I knew that I was mentoring that then did not have that family support and that love that I had. So I was just, I had a passion and I loved to just be able to help others see that they're special and that they matter and that God has a plan. And it became my just absolute life goal to just do that, because I could not believe that there were other kids out there who were going through abuse and neglect and living in group homes without a family. So I was, it was my life purpose then.
Wow, it's amazing.
They've done pretty well, don't you think?
I think so, yeah, it's amazing.
How many children do you have?
We have 5 kids right now, so we've adopted 5 kids. We've been foster parents for 3 years now. We've had 17 kids in all, and it's
17 children. That's unbelievable.
We absolutely love it. It's by far the greatest thing that we've ever done, and just to be able to take these kids who have gone through so much, and they're at such a vulnerable place, and they need love and support, and something that, you know, a lot of us are very capable of doing. And
wow. Yeah. One of the things that is very, that you talk about in the book that's very vulnerable is you talk about your own, I don't know whether it just hit you out of nowhere, but a real dark night where you were hit with depression. And I want you both to talk about that. Because I think what people don't understand, it doesn't just affect the person who's suffering, mm-hmm. it affects the person who loves the person who's suffering.
Absolutely.
What was that like for you?
Oh, it was super hard. So right after college, right after the graduation walk, actually, we were so busy with it, just completely focused on doing the graduation walk. And I had started seeing some different signs before that where I was starting to feel like I didn't care as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. I used to take everybody else's stories and the kids that I was trying to help and put it on my shoulders and felt like this responsibility, like it was my responsibility to do something about it. And I didn't release that to God. I didn't give it to God. And I tried to do it for too long. And then I got to a point where I started shutting myself down and I stopped caring as much. And right after the graduation walk, it just hit me. And I went through a time where I did not have any hope. I didn't think I was gonna ever be me again. I went completely away from God. It was too hard to face what I was feeling. I don't like being vulnerable. I don't like it at all. And I avoid it at every cost, which does not get you anywhere, that's for sure. But a lot of pain and extra suffering. And so I went down that time where everything just was so, so hard.
What was that like for you, Chris, watching that?
It was tough. I just didn't understand it at first too. So I didn't come at it from a great place of
because you're such a motivational person.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking I'm a motivational
speaker. Cheer up.
Yeah, I'm a motivator. I can do this. I can fix this. And, you know, that didn't work at all.
What did work finally?
Going to church again.
Really?
Yeah. So, well, I had these views that I had to do it myself. Wow. I'm extremely independent. So I thought I had to do this by myself. And if I couldn't get through this, then I was going to be in trouble in life if I go through something really hard, like I wasn't going to make it. So I had this view that I had to prove to myself that I could do it. And that's why it went on for almost 2 years where I struggled and was so against getting that help. I felt like it was going to show weakness and that I couldn't do it. And then all of a sudden, I went to church and realized I needed to pray again. Like the whole message was about praying. And it just, from there, we found an amazing church that we've been able to find, call our home, Christ Fellowship. And it's changed everything. There was one message that I heard towards the very beginning about the pastor shared that sometimes people go through hard times to take parts away that aren't supposed to be there and to prepare you for what God has. And he even said, like, sometimes people who are very independent go through a time where they realize you have to depend on God.
Wow.
And I learned that, and I would not be able to do what I do now if I didn't learn that.
Wow. Why is the book called The 7 Longest Yards?
Well, we set the goal that we're going to walk 7 yards down the aisle of our wedding on April 21st of 2018, 7 yards marking the 7-year injury anniversary, and 3 yards further than the graduation walk. And,
wow.
And honestly, though, the walk that we did down the aisle of our wedding was the easiest part of our journey. It was everything leading up to that, which was the challenging, most difficult, trying times of our life. But, you know, going down that aisle way with her by my side, it was just perfect. And there's no other person I wanted to be there than Emily, and to share the rest of my life with her was so special, and it gave us so much peace. And I was so motivated, I could have walked 14 yards.
Wow.
What's your prospect for the future as far as walking more?
You know, I don't know. I still train. You know, I'm still hopeful for the future, but I'm content with where I'm at. And interestingly enough, you know, so many people, they come up to me and they pray for my healing and for my walking, which I appreciate. But honestly, when I recognize and I think about my own prayers, I never pray for healing or walking. That's not what consumes me. What I think about is my wife, my family, my kids, and just making an impact on others. And that's really what I pray for, and because I'm that content with my life.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's really moving is that even while you were still in college, you set up a foundation because you realized that some other people maybe didn't have all the help that you do. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we started the Chris Norton Foundation, which, yeah, in college I started because I realized how unfortunate other people were in their circumstance, because I was fortunate enough to be an NCAA athlete at an NCAA school where I had the NCAA catastrophic insurance policy cover all my medical and rehab costs.
Oh, wow.
That's unheard of.
Yeah,
no one
sure.
else had those liberties to have insurance pay for everything, because there's people out there who are just as motivated as me, if not more, but can't afford to do so.
Wow.
And so we wanted to change that. So that's where we started setting up grants and giving out money for better rehab equipment. Mm. And then on top of that, we're starting a kids wheelchair camp for kids and families to all come for free. And they can do archery, zip lining, horseback riding, a bunch of fun games and activities.
Wow.
Right, I mean, the super couple, right?
No, but it's just the thing that I really love is that you're very honest about the suffering. But you met God in the middle of the suffering and pushed through and are pouring back into the lives of others. Mm-hmm. One of the most moving videos that you can watch actually online is when four of the little girls that you had been fostering, tell us about that Sunday service and what you were able to tell those little ones.
Yeah, so we figured out this year that we were going to adopt our four girls that had been with us for a little over a year. They're siblings that we took in through foster care. And there was a lot of really hard moments because they wanted to stay with us and their future was so unknown. And just helping them to get that clarity, like you're gonna be here forever, was amazing. So we set it up where we surprised them in our church on stage and just told them, like, we are adopting you. You're going to be our family forever. And it was such an amazing moment.
If you wonder why I have no eye makeup left on, it's because I watched that video right before we came out. It's absolutely fantastic.
And this guy's surrounded by girls everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Our dog's a female, too.
Well, the book is called The 7 Longest Yards. It is out right now, and we're going to tell you how to get hold of it, too. But one of the things that is very much the heart of this couple, and it's very much the heart of us here at Life, is that when God has met us in hard places, we want to do exactly the same for some other people.
Yeah.
Would you watch this?
What, is he saying something?
He says it's spinning.
It's pain?
Yeah,
it's paining. Oh my gosh. I'm in a village in Angola and came upon this child. This little boy's Augusto, and this breaks my heart. His little feet are in some of the worst shape I've ever seen. And there were many in this village with horrible conditions on their feet. But this little guy, he's just scratching. They itch so bad. They're completely infected. He said there's insects that have gotten into his feet. I'll be surprised if he doesn't lose his toe. And then the disease comes in through their feet and just goes throughout their body. It can actually kill them, all from going barefoot in conditions that we're in right here. I know Shoes and Smiles is a campaign that we get really excited about and it's fun. But this is why it's fun, because it saves lives. You would think just a pair of shoes is not life-saving, but in areas like this, in conditions like this, it is. And we can change it for Augusto. We can help him. We're going to clean these up and get him a pair of shoes and help him. Please, do what you can. Help bring shoes to little children like Augusto all over the world. You can be a part of something big and something even fun. But this is the reason we do it. Please.
That was Janice that you just saw. She's our mission photographer, and we've traveled many, 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 many miles around the world together. But this is one of the projects that we just absolutely love. Some of the projects we do are desperately hard. This is such a joy to be able to put shoes onto the feet of a child who has never worn shoes. And you know, when I first heard about it, I thought, well, isn't that just a fun thing? It is way more, as Janice explained to you in that piece. When children are walking over these hard surfaces and they get cuts in their feet and then they get diseases, and it literally is a matter of life and death. Mm-hmm. And I can't even imagine what it's like for a child to never in their life have had a pair of shoes. Now you might think, wow, it's a little early coming with Christmas Shoes and Smiles. But the reason is that we need to be able to get the help in now so that we can get all the shoes ordered. We have partners on the ground waiting for these Christmas shoes to be delivered so we can put them on the feet of little children and make sure that they have a life. And you know, Randy, over the years so far, we have helped 2 million children.
Isn't that amazing?
I know, but for this Christmas, we have a new goal.
150,000 pairs of shoes for 150,000 children is what we want to do. And we can do it if you will partner with us. Each pair of shoes runs an average of $3.60 each. That means 10 pairs of shoes for 10 children, is $36. $180 will give shoes to 50 children. And then the surgeries where we go in and correct the cleft palate and give that child not only a reason to smile, but the ability to smile. It's $500 on average with the surgeons we have around the world. So we have some big goals, but we have some very achievable goals. If you'll just go to the phone or go online right now and partner with us, we can make this Christmas very special for some children. Give them something they've never had before, and at the same time, prevent some diseases that could harm them or potentially kill them. So won't you put some smiles on some children's faces this Christmas season? Won't you put some shoes on their feet? I hope you'll give the best you can. Reach out with us, with arms of love around the world, and give these children shoes and smiles.
Poverty is a killer. And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you can help immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 150,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes, a gift of $72 will provide 20 pair, and a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted green crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or 2 children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful Safe in the Shepherd's Arms bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
As we travel around the world, one thing we've noticed is the condition of the feet of so many children. We see children all over the world running around barefoot in some terrible conditions. And it's not just unsightly, it's unhealthy and potentially deadly. As we give shoes, which is a wonderful Christmas gift, keep in mind that we are actually giving them a chance for better health, potentially even saving lives. We are protecting them from some really debilitating diseases, things like hookworm, several things that can happen in their feet. These protect them, just like the smiles when we go in and correct a cleft palate. We're not just giving them a cosmetic change, we're actually improving their health. Everything that we do is to improve the health of others, physically and spiritually. So go to the phone or go online now. Give the best gift you can as we give Christmas shoes and smiles.
Thank you so much. Don't you think it'd be great if every single Christian family watching this, Part of Life, determined this Christmas we're going to do something for another child? I mean, honestly, we don't need any more ugly sweaters. We really don't. And for any gift at all, we'll send you this lovely wee shoe. This is our new one for this year that you can put on your Christmas tree. And what a great thing to do for your kids as well, to do it as a family. Say, you know, we're going to cut back a tiny bit on what we do with each other because we're going to make some children's dreams really come true this Christmas. I think it's, what an opportunity.
It's a wonderful opportunity. And today, I want you to make the best gift you can and ask for this book by Chris and Emily Norton, The Seven Longest Yards. Any gift, just request it, and we would love to send it to you. But Sheila, I love the subtitle of this book, Our Love Story of Pushing the Limits While Leaning on Each Other.
Yeah, beautiful. I really want to thank you both so much for the mark you're making in the world, not just through the way you've pushed through your injury and not just through the way that you've opened up your heart, but just the way as a couple, you're making an impact in this world, in children's lives. And we are just, aren't we grateful to them? I mean, you're just amazing. We want to celebrate you and say thank you for... And remember, you can also check out Chris's foundation. You can go online, find out about that foundation, and get involved. You know, there's so much you can do. So thank you so much for being with us. For Randy and myself, God bless you, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
Tomorrow, Bible teacher Margaret Feinberg wants you to taste and see as she goes on a journey to unearth God's perspective on food. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.